What's up, gamers, and welcome to Lost at Sea Gaming. I am Hulking Yoda, the captain of this ship, the SS Gamer, and you have just stepped into my captain's quarters, my weekly gaming update show where I talk about my favorite gaming news topic of the past week, discuss what games I've been playing, give tips on some of those games, as well as issue a weekly relevant gaming-related decree. This week, it's all about which game I feel holds the current sci-fi survival horror crown between the Dead Space remake and the Callisto Protocol. So let's talk about it and dive right into the episode with my news catch of the week. Gamers, when it comes to talking about rivalries in the survival horror genre in gaming, obviously we start back in the late 1990s with Resident Evil and Silent Hill. Those two franchises kind of went toe-in-toe with each other for a few years there, until Silent Hill kind of lost its way, and Resident Evil really kind of came out of the ashes of both series that had a little bit of downfall here or there as the clear winner between the two, because honestly, Silent Hill just kind of disappeared up until recently this past year with their Transmission Showcase event, showcasing and highlighting multiple games on the way, as well as Resident Evil talking about new games coming up with it and Resident Evil 4, the remake, in just 2 months, maybe about a month and a half now from this recording. But for me, it's a special thing to talk about survival horror and the rivalries within, because if you've listened to my show for any amount of time, you'd probably picked up and understand and know by now that I am a massive horror fan. Gaming, movies, TV, it doesn't matter. I love the genre. Books, can't forget Stephen King. But the bottom line, man, when you talk about Dead Space and you talk about the survival horror genre, now we have a new rivalry that has been created, in my mind at least. It's fun to think of it this way as a rivalry. And how can it not be with the story details that I'm about to cover here with you before we get into those details of each individual game? And what I'm talking about, you know, Dead Space came out back in 2008, October of that year, and I was massively excited for that game. I could not wait to get my hands on my 360 controller and control the protagonist, Isaac Clarke, through the dark, scary corridors of the ISG Ishimura, the planet-cracking mining ship that happened to be sending out a distress call, floating out in the emptiness of space above the last planet that it was known to be cracking. Well, that game was an absolute pleasure for me to play. I loved it. I loved the character of Isaac, even though he didn't speak a word. I just loved the gameplay, introducing us to enemy types like the Necromorphs and weapons as such iconic as the Plasma Cutter and the utilization of the adjustment of, hey, you can shoot horizontally or vertically with the Plasma Cutter. And it's not just about shooting the head off the Necromorph or the enemy in this game, as it had been pretty much for the majority, if not all, of the Resident Evil and Silent Hill games up to that point. You had to shoot off their limbs. You could shoot off all their heads all you wanted, but that didn't stop the Necromorphs from sprinting right at you and attacking you. You had to shoot off their limbs. That's what weakened and killed them. A lot of very unique things that were started with the Dead Space first original game in that series. And I was even more blown away with the second entry in the game, which came just a little bit over 2 years later in January of 2011. That was a phenomenal experience. Took everything about that first game that made it special and just multiplied it times infinity, because it was just the perfect sequel. I mean, everything you want from a sequel, Dead Space 2 delivered on. And then you go to Dead Space 3. And at this point, you know, I've talked about it numerous times on this show. EA got kind of cocky and a little bit more controlling with the creative aspects of the series, more than they should have. And it was a detriment to the series. They wanted more action. They wanted to force co-op and microtransactions. And it just killed fan enthusiasm for the game and fan reception. It also hampered the quality of design of the game. It wasn't as well polished. It just felt forced, a lot of aspects of the game. And so Dead Space goes dormant for many, many years at that point, a decade to be exact, as that game came out in January of 2013. So flash forward a decade, here we are, and it's just now ended January of 2023, and the Dead Space remake has come out. Well, I got to tell you, I was absolutely ecstatic at the announcement of this remake, finding out that it wasn't some remaster. It was a full-on, from the ground up, built for next-gen remake, PS5 Series X exclusive. I couldn't wait to play this game. The only thing is, a month before Dead Space's remake releases, it was announced that the Callisto Protocol, another survival horror game, the new player to the field, was going to be releasing in December, just a month prior. So there's only a month of separation, and I'm sorry, but you can't look at that and not see some kind of, is there a potential competition going on there? Some kind of competitiveness, a little bit of a rivalry, a little bit of bitterness. Man, there's so much story there, because the Callisto Protocol, this game was announced in a very terrifying cinematic trailer a few years ago, and it showcased what was looking to be the next evolution of survival horror, next-gen survival horror. And even though it was a cinematic trailer, not in-game or in-engine at the time, man, just the terror that it looked like it was going to imbue upon its player, I could not wait to try it out. And this was announced before the Dead Space remake, mind you. So just putting that out there. And at the announcement, it was put out there that this is actually created by a development team that was put together. Striking Distance is the name of the development team. They were, a lot of them, former Dead Space development team members. And the whole development team as a whole is headed up and ran by Glenn Schofield, who was the co-creator and director of the original Dead Space. So you get all these key players in place, and you go with this big budget, amazing looking new step forward, hopefully, in the evolution of survival horror. And that's what you're looking at with the Callisto Protocol. In my opinion, had some pretty good previews and different things leading up to its release in December. Well, if we're looking at our timetable, you look at its release, and it was a very, very shaky release. It was a pretty poor launch on the Xbox Series X, especially. There's a lot of issues, a lot of frame rate dippages, game crashes. I mean, there was just a lot of stuff. Reflections not happening in mirrors, but they were happening on PS5. There was a lot of technical issues that needed to get patched out. And look, I give Striking Distance some credit. They did release a patch pretty quickly afterwards and fixed a lot of the issues that people had complained about. They also added New Game Plus, which was something that others complained about not having at launch. But I would say, honestly, almost seems like a little bit of karma here at work, because if you remember, if you paid attention to social media and gaming developers or news, there is at one point a pretty blunt and direct tweet from Striking Distance when there was a bunch of controversy around Gotham Knights that released back in October of last year, and how it was coming out at 30 frames per second and all these different limitations that people were upset about, and it also was delayed. And so Striking Distance comes out and says, Callisto Protocol will come out with the 60 frames per second option, still not getting delayed, coming out on December 3rd. We will not move from our, we are ready to go, et cetera, et cetera. Very kind of like puffing our chest and, you know, we don't have to delay our game. We're going to have a better running, higher resolution game. Okay, cool. Well, the thing is if you're going to puff your chest, typically you're going to have to back that up. Unfortunately, given the launch of Callisto Protocol, they did not, is what I would honestly say my ultimate interpretation of that situation would be. Sure, you reacted quickly, you got a patch out there, but the damage, in my opinion, had been done. And at this point, people are just making a meme out of you. You're just being looked at as, you know, being discredited. And I think that really, really hurt the performance of the Callisto Protocol from a sales standpoint, definitely from a review standpoint and different versions that people had gotten review builds for at that time. But I think that ultimately the poor launch is really what hurt it. And then word of mouth got around and people kind of stayed away from it, said, you know what, I'm going to wait for Dead Space. That comes out in a month. I'll be all right till Dead Space comes out. Well, I have played both games. I have actually completed the Callisto Protocol. And I am, I would say, getting close to the halfway mark of my time playing through the Dead Space remake. And I felt it was perfect timing to give you guys my breakdown of how they compare to each other, and which one I ultimately feel at this point in time is the better game. So when we look at that, again, Callisto Protocol, it took me just over 20 hours to complete this game. Dead Space, I'm just about 10 hours in almost. Chapter 5 out of 12. So 12 total chapters in Dead Space. There were only 8 chapters in the Callisto Protocol. Now, both games, each of the chapters seem to be taking me anywhere from an hour and a half to 2 hours to complete. Now, I am very much a thorough, maybe even overly thorough explorer when it comes to game environments and looking for secrets or audio logs, pickups, collectibles, or just taking in the environment. I love a good, lush, intricately detailed environment. But regardless, it looks like even though Dead Space has more chapters than Callisto Protocol, they're probably going to shape up to be about the same length for me. Dead Space may tap out a little bit longer. It just depends on if every chapter going forward still takes me the hour and a half to 2 chapters, given the fact you're bound to have a half hour chapter, 45-minute chapter in there somewhere, maybe even two. Regardless, one thing I really liked about both games was the fact that they both look absolutely gorgeous. The graphics on both games are phenomenal. Both have a performance or fidelity mode, and both can run at 60 frames per second with a lower resolution or at 30 frames per second with higher resolution of 4K and variable ray tracing and all that beautiful technical jargon that, if you know what I'm talking about, then and that's what you look for as far as your visuals when you're playing. It's there for you in both games. So the options are there. They both look amazing. But if I had to choose which one I felt looked better graphically, what would I go with? Callisto Protocol versus Dead Space, round one, where are we going with? I would say I would give the nod to the Callisto Protocol in the visuals department. That game and the entirety of my playthrough, I was constantly amazed and impressed by the visuals. Not just the, okay, right there in front of me, that's what it looks like, but in the mannerisms of the characters, the facial expressions of the main character and other characters you meet in the game, the shadows and the lighting and just physics in the game are just insanely realistic and amazingly well done. So it just, the Callisto Protocol definitely takes the nod. Again, not to take anything away from Dead Space because it's pretty phenomenal itself, but Callisto Protocol really just went the extra mile when it comes to visuals. The other big piece that I wanted to compare between these two games are their gameplay, and honestly, how similar they are. I mean, they are just almost identical. I understand the Callisto Protocol was supposed to be the spiritual successor to Dead Space, but I didn't expect that to mean that it was going to be just about a carbon copy of what Dead Space is, just in a different setting and with different characters. And I mean, you take the basic premise, it's a third-person survival horror game, sci-fi, set in that kind of a universe, and you swap out the Ishimura for a prison, and in this case, Black Iron Prison, and you have your setting. You swap out Isaac Clarke for Jacob Lee. You have the outbreak that is changing people into these crazy, creepy, disgusting monsters. And you go through and you have some kind of form of telekinesis. You have excessive gore, crazy death animations, etc., etc. But the craziest part to me is just how mirror image Callisto Protocol went with its upgrade system, its menu system, and everything else. I mean, it's the exact same. You find like what is considered a little shop. It's like a little window shop that you come up to, and it's just a location, and you interact with it, and it brings up a menu, and you can sell different items that just are purely that. They exist in the game purely for you to find and sell for credits to be able to purchase more things within the shop. And then you have your outfit that you can upgrade from the same shop menu. You can purchase ammo and medical items and upgrades for weapons and other things. I mean, it's the exact same thing. Obviously, the window dressing of it is a bit different in Callisto Protocol than it is in Dead Space. But man, having played these two so close together, I was able to see just how similar. I mean, it was obvious when I first started playing Callisto Protocol, like, wow, they're doing, and I talked about it in my Captain's Quarters from December when I first played the game and gave you my first thoughts. It was just like, man, they even have the same curb stomp animation and everything. Like, it's just so similar. It's crazy. So the gameplay is very similar, but I would say Dead Space gets the nod for me in that department because it does have a better polish on it. And I just feel that there is a lot more variety within Dead Space than there is in the Callisto Protocol. It's almost as if they did, let's do what the most, I don't want to say bare bones because I don't want to discredit Callisto Protocol at the same time, but it's almost like, all right, well, let's do the starting point, the most basic that we can do of what this aspect of gameplay is, and we'll kind of mix it up our own version. So I prefer the way the gameplay pans out in Dead Space. Now, when we talk about main characters, we got Jacob Lee, who is the main character of the Callisto Protocol, and Isaac Clarke, obviously infamous from all of the previous Dead Space entries in the mainline franchise. So who do I think and who do I like more as a protagonist? Well, it sucks because Isaac, he's got that iconic rig outfit that he wears, and especially in this remake, I did the Digital Deluxe Edition, which comes with a bunch of different skins and different rigs that you can wear, and those are really cool. So from a visual standpoint, Isaac Clarke, definitely. But from a character standpoint, who do I like more? And again, it's still kind of tough because Isaac, if you played the original and if you just know the story in general, he's going to the Ishimura in the hopes of meeting back up with his wife, who he's been separated from for a while because of work. And when he gets there, seeing all this mess that's going on, obviously he's pretty panicky and wants to find her and save her, rescue her, whatever the case may be. Jacob, on the other hand, completely different scenario. This guy's just doing a job, and he ends up, through horrible circumstances, getting stuck and thrown into this prison and having to survive and just find his way off of this moon of Callisto. As far as this is the first time that Isaac has an actual voice, because he was the voiceless hero, as many games have, but in the original series, he did not have a voice. So they've given him a face, and they've also given him a voice in this game, because he did not reveal his face in the original trilogy. So even with that, what ultimately, which character do I go with? Honestly, maybe a controversial choice here, but I am going to go with Jacob Lee. And the reason I go with Jacob Lee is because he is just kind of thrust into this really just crap situation, and the way that he handles it, and the way that he interacts with the people that he meets along the way, and it just in general, the way that Josh Brumall acts this character out is just done so well and so likable to me that when I look at the two characters of Jacob and Isaac, I just feel like, you know what? I almost feel if I can identify with either one of them, Jacob is the one that I kind of gravitate towards. Like that would probably be closest to me in that scenario. So I give the nod to Callisto as far as their main character or protagonist here. Now, when we look at different kinds of styles of gameplay that each game offers, obviously, I'll start with Dead Space here. Dead Space, you have 0G exploration where there's no gravity, obviously. So you're speeding around in your boosters that come from your rig suit, and you're exploring in 0G. The sound is amazing, and just as you're doing different things that are required on the exterior of the Ishimura, it's just a really fun diversion from the normalcy of being on ground, on foot, running through the tight corridors of the Ishimura. Now, we also have a lot of different options when it comes to stasis and kinesis. Now, stasis is how you can freeze enemies in motion and, well, really, really, really slow them down, I should say. It doesn't necessarily completely freeze them, but regardless, slow them down almost completely, as well as kinesis, which is pretty much what it sounds like, telekinesis, the ability to pick up objects and throw them. And that is amazing when it comes to shooting off the different spear-pointed ends of a necromorph and impaling that necromorph with their own limb into the wall. That has been something that has been classic since the original Dead Space. So when you come to stasis and kinesis, 0G gravity, I mean, all these things are different options for Dead Space that the Callisto Protocol does not have. One thing that Dead Space also has over the Callisto Protocol is the weapon variety. Callisto Protocol is very much your, I would say, run-of-the-mill, typical pistol, assault rifle, shotgun kind of inventory. Granted, They all these weapons have alternate fire modes and different upgrades that you can purchase for each weapon, but none of them match up to the amazing arsenal that you can acquire as Isaac Clarke on the Ishimura. Obviously, starting with the classic iconic plasma cutter, horizontal vertical spray. You also have the Ripper, which is it just shoots out chain saw blades, and you can use the alternate fire to just fling one really fast and cut off limbs, or you can press the regular R2 trigger, and that'll just keep it right in front of you pretty close and just have it sit there and spin, just cutting into enemies, hopefully taking off multiple limbs in the process. And of course, you have the line gun and many other different flamethrower type weapons, and there's just so many different options. The big difference is really when it comes to melee, because Callisto Protocol focuses mostly on melee combat, and I would say that is first, and gunfire and gunplay is second in most situations. And I would say that that is where it does improve over Dead Space, because Dead Space, you have R1, which will swipe Isaac's gun holding hand and kind of do like a backhand motion, or you can do the R2 trigger to curb stomp the enemy. So that's the extent of melee in Dead Space. As far as the Callisto Protocol, there's a whole system in the game built around it. Now, I do have my concerns with auto lock and other things that I think could have been done better about the melee and Callisto Protocol. But I do think when it comes to combat options and giving you options that are still viable and meaningful outside of using guns, I think that the Callisto Protocol takes the nod in the form of melee. But if we're talking strictly the weapon variety and fun, to be honest, when you combine the weapon variety, the stasis kinesis, and sure, you can throw the melee of the backhand and the curb stomp and Isaac in there. You have all that for Isaac. You have what I've mentioned for Jacob in the Callisto Protocol. He does have his own version of kinesis in the form of grip. It's GRP, and it's basically this glove that you find in your exploration of the game, and it allows you to have the telekinetic ability to pick up objects, pick up whole enemies, which in that sense, I do say I like even more than Dead Space. Dead Space, typically, you can only pick up dead enemies, their carcasses. If an enemy is coming at you, you can't really expect to lock onto them and pick them up and fling them. That's not part of Dead Space's game. It's all about shooting off limbs and impaling them with those limbs, or breaking off pieces in the environment and impaling them with that. Whereas the Callisto Protocol, the environment already has pre-set up for you spiked walls, spinning fan blades that are massive and spinning really quickly to dice up the enemy, things like that. So, as far as the grip versus stasis and kinesis are concerned, I would say that I like the ability to pick up the main body in combat of the enemies as opposed to waiting afterwards. But when you combine it all together, I would say that Dead Space takes the nod in combat as a whole. Now, when we look at enemy types, Dead Space is well known for its necromorphs. That is the enemy type and the ultimate description of all the different various enemy types and variations of necromorph that you'll see throughout the course of its game. The Callisto Protocol. There isn't really any one specific fun, cool term like necromorph to describe them. They're really just kind of looked at as infected. And that's really what they are. I mean, the infected are basically prison inmates and workers that have bitten each other or been infected in some other means by this biological weapon that was being tested on Callisto. So you have that kind of a generic explanation as to what's going on and where the enemies are coming from in Callisto, as opposed to the more, I would consider, in my opinion, fun story version of why the necromorphs are in existence in Dead Space. And that is all to do with something called the Marker, which is this giant relic that is found on this planet that they were cracking. And the marker itself gets in people's heads, infects them in that way, and ultimately slowly starts turning people And of course, it spreads like any other virus as well through, being bitten or things like that. But it's still a little bit different than just your typical biological weapon. And there's just a little bit more to it going on there, which I thought was very interesting. And in general, the story of each game, I definitely enjoyed both. And again, I'm still not even quite halfway through with Dead Space yet, even though I did play through and complete the original back in 08, and this follows the same basic storyline, so I have an idea of where it's going to end up if it's, the same as it was 15 years ago. But going off of what I know and what I think I know of Dead Space, and having just completed the Callisto Protocol, if I were to look at the two stories and hold them up against each other and say which one I thought was the better story, I would probably still go with Dead Space. The Callisto Protocol, even though, yes, sure, I did say, and I agree and believe that it's kind of a generic biological weapon research kind of thing gone bad in the Callisto Protocol, there is more story there and there's more depth to it. But that you can look forward to my review, and I will give you more depth and details on that story and it. And it's enough there that I am very interested in a sequel if they were to ever be able to do one. But with Dead Space, there's just so much more there with the story behind the marker and the religion in the game of Unitology, and just so much more going on there that knowing what I know of the previous trilogy of Dead Space games, if they're still going off of that, and if this is the start of the franchise relaunch and they're going to go back through that lore and kind of repurpose it again and maybe even expand on it, man, I can't wait. So a lot more going on there in Dead Space from what I know right now, but I can't wait to see. So if I had to choose one game, if it was Dead Space or the Callisto Protocol, if I could only choose one and had to give you a clear winner between these two games, which one would I tell you is the winner? I have to go with Dead Space because not only is Dead Space, there's just a lot going on there as far as the fun factor and the weapon variety, stasis and kinesis, but there's also a lot more polish I felt like when it came to the gameplay as well. And you'll see that if you decide to play both of them. You can see that difference in polish from Dead Space to Callisto Protocol and why Dead Space didn't necessarily need a massive patch right after launch when Callisto Protocol did. Plus, even though the melee options are more involved for the Callisto Protocol as opposed to Dead Space, I still feel that there's some issue there when it comes to the gameplay execution of that melee combat. So next, let's look at my captain's log and see what other games I was playing over the last 2 weeks. Gamers, the first thing I want to do with my captain's log as I open it up here is I have to give you a Platinum Pursuit update. So for those of you new to Captain's Quarters, a Platinum Pursuit update. So what does that mean? Well, Platinum Pursuit is what I designate for myself when I declare to you listeners, hey, this game is amazing. I've checked out the trophy list. I am going after all the trophies and ultimately that beautiful glistening platinum trophy that you get in any PlayStation game once you unlock every other trophy. So anytime I'm playing a game and I'm like, yep, I'm making this commitment, I'm doing this, I will announce on the show that I'm making a Platinum Pursuit. So I did that with a little game called A Plague Tale: Requiem. And I discussed with you guys up to last Captain's Quarters episode where I had gotten in that and what I was working on and trying to make that come to fruition. Well, I am very ecstatic to tell you that after another 8 hours or so of working towards that goal, after beating the game, I did find success in unlocking that platinum trophy. And you did not hear wrong. I did, in fact, spend an extra 8 hours in the game playing it through a second playthrough on New Game Plus, just about an entire second playthrough to get this trophy. And the reason why is the way the game has their trophies set up. There's three different play styles that are affected based on how you approach enemy encounters within the game throughout the course of the game. And it dictates whether you kill more enemies than not, whether you sneak by and don't kill, or whether you kill a few, or however it shapes up. However you end a section of enemy encounters, that is what dictates the increase of one of those three different play styles. So it's pretty much impossible to get all three of them on a single playthrough. You might be able to squeeze out two, but I highly doubt it. I would be extremely impressed if you were to tell me that you were able to do that. If you are, please let me know how you did it. I came very close, but I still had to play through seven chapters of the game in order to get both other play styles completed. I also had a few other collectibles and different things that I was missing to add to that trophy list. So it did take some time, some trial and error, some looking up online and making sure, where am I going here? What am I missing? But ultimately, I was very successful in getting that platinum trophy. So I am very pleased to share that with you today on this episode. Hopefully, I will have a review out for you within the next few weeks for A Plague Tale: Requiem. But that, in addition to Dead Space and Callisto Protocol, those were not the only games that I played over the course of these past 2 weeks. There is one more that I want to talk to you about, and that is The Devil in Me. Gamers, The Devil in Me, if you did not know, is the fourth and final game of Season 1 of the Dark Pictures Anthology. And that anthology consists of Man of Medan, Little Hope, and House of Ashes. And I have played and enjoyed to some varying degrees all of the previous three games. Man of Medan is easily my least favorite of the three that I played before Devil in Me. Little Hope, much better, but also... did I like that as much, less, or more than House of Ashes? Both reviews for Little Hope and House of Ashes are right here on this channel. If you want my detailed thoughts on them, definitely check out those reviews. And I do have a review coming for you soon for The Devil in Me, because if you didn't know, these games are typically known for at least a single playthrough as being pretty short, just like The Quarry. These are all developed by Supermassive Games. They are the developer. And The Quarry, Until Dawn, the Dark Pictures Anthology, all these games are meant to be played multiple times so that you get, if you want to see, all the different branches of story and outcomes and possible deaths, or possible, hey, all my characters survived, or all my characters died, or I only had a few survive. However it shapes up, it's always fun to try and see how all these different choices you could have made would affect different characters in different ways. And that's what I've always loved about those style of games. The Quarry, I also have that review on here as well. Check that out. But as far as The Devil in Me, I did complete it, obviously, with having a, hey, you can check out the review here soon as well. And it's ironic because going into the game, I knew that it was already touted as being longer than the other Dark Pictures games, but not as long as The Quarry. So for me, The Quarry took me right at 10 hours. The other Dark Pictures, roughly 6. So I'm thinking about 8 hours. Well, I'll just tell you, it took me just over 10 hours to complete this game. So it was even a little bit longer than The Quarry. But I loved this game, gamers. I really, really loved it. If you don't know what it's about, it's basically, there is a modern day gentleman who is very wealthy, but is also obsessed with H.H. Holmes, who is designated as America's first serial killer. He is the one that created and built the murder house, or the murder hotel. He actually built the hotel with trap doors and hidden rooms and gas lines and all kinds of crazy ways that he could trap his guests and torture and kill them. Crazy stuff. But that is where The Devil in Me takes its inspiration, straight from that, because there is a obsessed fan of H.H. Holmes who has an island where he has built a replication, an exact replication of H.H. Holmes's murder house, and has invited a documentary team out there to basically spend the weekend and document and try to film and put H.H. Holmes on the map. And also the crew is hoping that this will boost their career and their notoriety, that they will get noticed and maybe this is their big break. So a lot of incentive for them to go out there and really do their thing. Obviously, once you get out to the island, it would not be a game if things didn't go very south very quickly. So it's just a really fun game. It's all about quick timer events and making quick last second decisions and trying to keep everybody alive. In every game of the Dart Pictures, as well as Until Dawn in the Quarry, my goal is always the same. Everybody survives. And I hate to tell you, but in all five or six now of those games, not a single game on my initial playthrough have I ever had all of the characters survive. Same thing happened in this game that happened to me in the other games. I get about halfway through, and there it is, the first one somehow always dies. But I will say it was very fun playing through the game. The environment was great. The island itself, the interior of the hotel, and the way that was set up. I mean, it really did genuinely mess with your head, the way that the hallways would change. And it's like, wait a minute, I just came from here, but there was a doorway. There's a wall. Like, what is going on? Like, it's seriously, it was really well done. And I thought that, you know, going into it, didn't know if you were going to be in the hotel the whole time or if it was going to be a little bit more expansive. And I'm very happy to say that it is much more expansive than what I thought it was going to be. So you don't have to worry about being claustrophobic the whole time. If that would be the case, stuck inside the mansion that entire playthrough. So very much enjoyed the game. I can't wait to get into the details of it with you on my review, but that'll be coming soon in the following weeks. But that's my Captain's Log. That's what I've been up to this past couple of weeks since the last Captain's Quarters episode. Now, though, after all of that, what was my highlight of the week? Gamers, when looking back over these past 2 weeks and trying to find one moment that really shined above the rest, when you're talking about unlocking a platinum trophy, playing through and completing multiple games, the experiences in each individual game, even the game that I haven't beaten yet with Dead Space, I mean, there's a lot there. So where do I come on the other side of that? And what game, what moment or series of moments led to my highlight over these past 2 weeks? Well, for me, maybe surprisingly, I have to go with my playthrough of The Devil and Me. It was just, as I just stated, just an awesome time. I did it over the course of 2 days, over three different play sessions, just over 10 hours, as I stated. And there was just really something alluring about that game. Its characters, its environment, the different types of puzzles that were set up within it. I love that style of game. I love it. And I just played through The Quarry last summer, in June of last year, 7 months later, playing through Devil and Me, no problem. Guess what? If this year, this fall, is season two, game one of the Dart Pictures anthology, I am there because I love these games. And I also, there's a little bias there because even before the game, I was, you know, I'm interested in history and whatnot and the psychology of serial killers and all that. So H.H. Holmes, I had already a knowledge going into the game of who he was and what the premise and all this stuff going into it. So there was a lot there. Plus the story was just really well done. The collectibles that you find are just very interesting, and the way that they were implemented within the game, I just loved what Supermassive did with The Devil and Me. So for me, it came out as, believe it or not, the clear highlight of the week for me. Now let's go open up some buried treasure gaming chests that I have for you with some tips in Dead Space. Gamers, when it comes to Dead Space, I have a few tips to help you hopefully survive your time on the USG Ishimura. And the first of those tips, when it comes to upgrading, obviously it requires nodes that you find as pickups. A lot of times they're in rooms that are off the beaten path or are locked behind maximum security clearance or different clearance levels. So when it comes to nodes, you can also purchase them for 10,000 credits at the store, but getting the 10,000 credits, do you really want to spend that on nodes or ammo or other things? So point being, when it comes to upgrading, I highly recommend focusing on upgrading your rig or armor first before weapons. And the reason I say that, all the different things that you can upgrade on the rig are massively beneficial to your survival in this game. Obviously, you have a couple of nodes that are good for increasing your max HP, but the ones that I'm really appreciative of, especially the oxygen tanks, that's one of them. Is the longer you can stay alive and breathe with whether it's the exterior environments of the ship or moments where the ship is compromised and there is no oxygen inside and you got to get from point A to B or maybe do a couple things along the way and stay alive long enough to do them. And then you got enemies attacking you. Just trust me, it is such a weight lifted off your shoulders if you have a minute and 40 seconds worth of oxygen just based on your upgrades, as opposed to having to scramble and find the oxygen tanks that are typically littered around the environment of a non-oxygen area, but they are in limited supply. So why worry or stress over it? Plus, you can also upgrade the duration of stasis, the radius of stasis when you launch it. So I would just highly, highly recommend focusing on doing the rig first. Now, weapon upgrades are no joke either. Obviously, it's going to take you until getting to chapter 4 or 5 when you get that intermediate rig upgrade. And once that comes, then you can unlock more branching paths that give you more options for HP. I would say in the interim, then go ahead and upgrade some weapons. And ultimately, when it comes to upgrading, a final thing on that, don't be afraid to play around with the nodes, because you can respec everything at any point in time. You can, say, start out upgrading your weapons and decide, you know what, I want to upgrade the rig instead. You could swap it around in the opposite direction. Start out like I suggested with upgrading the rig, and you know what, I'm not really liking this. Hulking Yoda is his preference, but I'm going to focus on upgrading my weapons to take out enemies quicker. Okay, you can do that. Obviously, when you are using med packs in the game, I would recommend starting with the small med packs first. They're small, medium, and large. I would always, as best you can, hold off on using the large ones unless you're just one hit away from death and there's no other option, and it's that or a 5-minute backtrack from a save point. Because typically the game is pretty good about giving you med kits, and if you really get in a bind, you could probably go to the nearest shop and buy a couple of them. But I would say just always try to keep and hold on to those larger med packs as long as you can. Just keep that in mind. And these tips hopefully will help you survive your stay on the Ishimura. Now let's go see what this week's Captain's Decree is. Gamers, this week's episode is all about Dead Space versus the Callisto Protocol. So with that being the theme here, my Captain's Decree is staying within that theme and is this week asking, Dead Space 2 Remake or the Callisto Protocol 2? Which one would I prefer? Whew, man, that is a tough choice, to be honest with you. I know I stated earlier in the episode that I did prefer the Dead Space remake over the Callisto Protocol, as much as I did love the Callisto Protocol. I do want to stress that and make that clear. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed my time upon Jupiter's moon Callisto. But there's just some refinements and a certain swagger about Dead Space that just, it takes over and defeats the Callisto Protocol in that setting. But if it came down to, you know what, Hulking Yoda, we are EA Motive and we are Striking Distance and we are coming to you and we were told by the gaming gods we were going to get a budget and only one of us could come away making a game, either Dead Space 2, the remake, or the Callisto Protocol 2. Now, I will say that the Callisto Protocol has a cliffhanger ending. So for me, it makes it very difficult because as much as I did prefer Dead Space for a few reasons, man, I would love to see where that story goes in the Callisto Protocol. And I feel like there's so much potential there as a newer franchise. But on the other hand, I've also been waiting for years for a new Dead Space. And even though it's a remake, it's so well done. And as I've thought to myself multiple times as I'm playing through, man, I don't remember this. The basic gist of what I'm doing, sure. But the details of it all, this is completely fresh and new to me as if I've never played it. And that's what I think that I would feel if it were a Dead Space 2 remake. Because that was my initial concern when I brought the question to myself, Dead Space 2 remake or Callisto Protocol 2, is, well, you've already played through Dead Space 2. So, you know, wouldn't you want a new, brand new game with Callisto Protocol 2? Not necessarily. Because if I'm going to have the same experience with a remake of Dead Space 2 as I did with the first game, man, that would be amazing to re-experience that second game as if it were the first time. That is a massive piece of excitement right there for me, because that second game, I stated it earlier, was perfection as far as a sequel is concerned. And there are some key moments within it that do stick out of my mind that I do remember. And just thinking about what they could do with the environment of that colony and that space city, if you will, that was in Dead Space 2. And I think it's kind of obvious at this point, gamers, that given the ultimatum of it's up to you, Hulking Yoda, Dead Space 2 Remake or Callisto Protocol 2, I think I'm going to have to go with Dead Space Remake 2. That'll do it for this week's episode. I hope you've enjoyed your time aboard the SS Gamer. You can join its crew by reaching out to me via email at lostatseagaming365@gmail.com, as well as search for Hulking Yoda on the Xbox, PlayStation, and Nintendo Switch networks. You can also find me on social media on Instagram at lostatseagaming, as well as on Twitter at lostatseagaming1. Thank you for listening, and until the sea says otherwise, we'll keep sailing.